This sermon is about Christ, our advocate. Now, I will explain that word, advocate. Actually, here in our NIV in verse 1, we have many words. But actually, John wrote only one word. And they've explained it for us. In verse 1, it says, "We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense." And actually, John wrote, "We have an advocate." And so that is something very important for us to understand, which I will explain. Now, neno hili ni neno toka rafiki. Linasema, my dear children. John writes to Christians who are dear to him. And he writes also as an apostle. He writes with authority. He calls them children. They're those who have learned from him. Those who received the gospel from him. Now being taught by him. He writes with affection. He doesn't say, oh, wanafunzi wangu, lakini watoto wangu. And he writes with great concern. What's his concern? What does this true pastor want? He says, I write this to you so that you will not sin. So what's on this pastor's heart is that his children in the faith, his spiritual children, will avoid sinning. Well, many pastors preach with the desire that their people will avoid unhappiness, or they will avoid trouble, or will avoid illness, or sickness, or poverty. Well, actually, that's pretty impossible. They preach about it, but they can't do it. But John, the apostle of God, writes to us so that we will not sin. Is that what you want to learn about when you come to church? How to please God by stopping sinning? Well, and he continues, if anybody does sin, and he knows that we do sin, he's also written verse 8 of chapter 1, said, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Or verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. His word has no place in our lives. So when John says, if anyone does sin, he means when we do sin. When we sin. Here is what we need to know. Here is what we need to think about, to remember. And it is Christ, our advocate. So John is concerned that Christians learn to stop sinning. But he knows, sadly, we're still sinning. Because we're still in this life. And so he says, here now, you remember this. So, our first thing. What does it mean to say that Christ is our advocate? What is this really meaning? Well, ni rahisi kujua. Una jua kwamba hapa Eldoret, pana the magistrate's courts. There's that place where if you're charged with a crime, there you'll go. And ukienda pale uta ona nini? What will you see? You'll see a judge. When they wear those wigs sometimes. And you will see over there, well, there's the dock. And in the dock is the accused. Here's the person who has to answer for some crime. And then in the front there's a table and there's the lawyers. And so there's the prosecution, somebody who will accuse you. And perhaps you've managed to get some lawyer for your defense. And he will explain why you are innocent. And he will try to explain your innocence to the court. And of course, together with all this, Pana Sharia. There is the law which they say, has been broken. And there is an accusation that is being made. Advocate is a word that comes from a court of law. If you want to find an advocate, that's the place you go. So that's where John is taking us. He's taking us to the courtroom. And it is the courtroom of God. Who is the judge? You read this verse. Who is the judge? It's the Father, isn't it? Because you'll find the advocate is speaking to the Father for defense. Kwa sababu, Mungu, Baba, ana sheria. He is the judge. He will enforce his law. He has not given us his law in vain. When the parliament in our country gives us some law, you know, they're not joking. Then the police will start to enforce it, or the ministries will start to carry it out. And there will be some funds allocated to carry out this new law. Or perhaps the police will need some training. Or the judges will need to study it for if somebody breaks the law. They're not doing it in vain. And yet, do we think that God gives us his laws in vain? That it's empty? That he doesn't mean it? No. God will require an answer for every breaking of his laws. God is a judge, and our sins come up before him. And there is a court that then sits, and there must be an answer given to God for it. You say, who is God? Oh, unaweza kusema, Mungu ni rafiki wangu na Mungu ni baba wangu. And this is wonderfully true if you're a Christian. But God, pia, he is a judge, and he has a court. And you can be sure that there is an accuser against you. Do you remember tulisoma kitabu cha Zechariah na sura wa tatu? We read that. And there was Joshua who was standing before God. Who is Joshua? Joshua was the high priest. He was the highest figure in God's church at that time, when God's church was the people of Israel. But he and all the people were full of sins. And in this vision, we saw Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord. And verse 2, the Lord himself speaks. So it's God's courtroom. But who else is there? Oh, Shetani, anasimama, kati ya Joshua, kufanya accusation, to accuse him. The word Satan actually means this, the accuser. Did you know that? Shetani. This word, its meaning is the accuser. And it won't be hard for him, will it? Satan can understand the law of God with its 10 commandments and its 2 great commandments to summarize it all, to love God and to love your neighbor. It won't be hard for him, will it, to show that you loved yourself far, far more than you loved your neighbor, and that you loved God often even less than that. So you can be sure there's an accuser. Do you know what conscience is? That word, conscience, is that voice inside you which speaks. When you've done wrong, and it says, no, you should not have done that. It's that voice which speaks of guilt. And it's that voice which then makes you afraid of judgment. So there's a witness God has given you, that you may know that your sins are remembered, that somebody saw them, and that they must answer for them. So it's the courtroom of God. What will you plead in the courtroom of God? What will you say? Will you try to say, oh, not guilty, I never did sin, You know, there's nothing to answer for. It's no good. God sees into our hearts. God knows even our thoughts. We can't plead that. Verse 8 and verse 10 of chapter 1. John says, will you make God a liar? That God will come and say, here are your sins. What do you say? And you'll say, no, there's no sins there. Will you make God a liar in his courtroom? Well, what do we need? Well, this is where an advocate comes in. An advocate is one who will come and plead your case. Imagine you have to go to the high court, some great crime. You'll want the best lawyer, won't you? You'll be going to your friends and saying, now how can we get the best lawyer? You'll be saying, how can we afford the best lawyer? And who do we know who is very skilled? Who can plead the best case in the court? An advocate is one who speaks in your defense. And actually, an advocate is one who will plead that you are innocent. This is something different to a priest. Ninataka kwamba umnaweza kukumbuka kwamba wiki, well, not last week, the one before, ulio pita na moja tena, nili hubiri ya kuhusu ya Yesu Kristu kama priest. Now, unahitaji priest if you are guilty, because a priest can make some sacrifice. He can come and offer to God for your sins. But an advocate pleads actually for your innocence. He pleads that you can go free from the court, that there is no punishment needed. Now you're thinking, what is the preacher saying? He just said, surely we're guilty. Now he's talking about an advocate who is preaching that you are innocent. Well, we will come to that. But let us see very clearly. This verse says, our advocate is Jesus Christ. We have one. John writes to Christians, he says, my dear children, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So, kazi la Christo kama advocate ni nini, anafanya nini? What does Christ do? Well, there are two things, and you can see them in these verses. First, in verse 1, he is called Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the one who is pure and just and holy. In the courtroom of God, God is looking for one thing from you, only one thing, that you have one righteous life. That you have one life which is pure and spotless, without any sin, without any stain. That you have one life that is holy as God is holy. That's what God requires from you. And now immediately when I say that, you know you don't have that. You know your own righteousness cannot be enough. You cannot appear in that courtroom and say, well, God, but look at my robes, look at my clothes. I mean, here there's this bit which is still clean. Oh, yeah, there's some dirt down there, but look, this bit is not so dirty. This bit's not so dirty. You can't appear before God in your own righteousness. He's saying, is there dirt? You must be condemned. But here is Christ, and he is the righteous one, and he is now appearing for you who believe in him. Why did Jesus live until the age of, well, we think it's 30, 33, that he died at? Why could he not just be sacrificed as soon as he was a boy or as soon as he's a young man? Why all of those years? What was he doing in those years? Well, in those years, he was living a life that perfectly pleased God. He was weaving and tailoring the robes of perfect righteousness which he could wear. He was living out that life of purity so that he could appear for us. And then God can say, there is everything that pleases me. I see you appearing in the cause of these people, and I see righteousness. I see perfection. I am so pleased. Or let me look at the commandments. Let me look at this one who stands before me. The commandments require perfect obedience, perfect love. And I see them. I see the same thing as I look now at Jesus the Christ. And so this is the one who's now appearing for us. So Jesus appears and says, Father, great judge, great God, here is what you're asking for. Here is that life. Here is the obedience. Read every commandment. I've kept them all. Think of every sin. I never committed any of them. Here I am, Father. And the Father says, yes, that's it. And so you see, God can be just to accept us in Christ. God can actually say, Abraham or Irene or Cynthia, I'm seeing perfection when I look at you, because I am seeing Christ. Umnakumbuka tena kitabucha Zechariah. Something was given to Zechariah. What was given to him? Umguo safi, pure white robes to wear. They weren't his. His were dirty, but now he's given them. That's the gospel. The righteousness of Christ given freely to every believer. And so that's the first part of his work. But secondly, Verse 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. See, it now seems you've got two sets of clothes. You've got these white robes Christ has given you to wear, but you've got your own filthy and dirty. Those are real sins. How can they be taken away? Well, Christ has done that also. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Or perhaps in your Bible you have a note at the bottom, and it has a fuller and better translation in that note. It says, he is the one who turns aside God's wrath, taking away sins. What will the judge ask for you if you're guilty? You know what happens, don't you? If he finds you guilty, you don't just go home. The judge says, okay, now this is your crime and here is your punishment. So you're going to have to pay some big fine. You're going to have to go to the prison. Or even perhaps you're going to have to be hung until you're dead. The crime brings the punishment. But after you've paid the price and you've come out of the prison, you've been there for some time, perhaps the judge will ask, now, this man, he was in my court. Was he guilty? And we say, yes, he was guilty. And then the judge will say, well, if he's guilty, we need to punish him. But then they'll say, actually, we already punished him. He's been in the prison. He's served the time. And now it's done. And then will the judge say, let's do it again? No, he can't say that, can he? That would be unjust. The law will not allow it. He's paid the price, and now it's finished. And so that is verse 2. You now understand it, don't you? Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So in that great courtroom, God says, well, I see much sin here. Here is the penalty for sin. My wrath and my anger. Hell is the place appointed for sinners. My anger must fall. But Jesus Christ appears as our advocate. And he says, the price is paid. The wrath was turned aside unto me. See, Father, I still have those wounds. They're not bleeding now because it's finished. We have a hymn that says, those wounds are now in beauty glorified. But there are the marks. The price has been paid. It's all done. Justice is satisfied. The judge cannot ask the price again. God cannot require you to be punished after Christ has been punished. Then God would be unjust. And God is not unjust. And so John says to us, he's the sacrifice. And not only for us, not only for those ones that I'm writing to, but for the whole world, for everybody who shall ever call on the name of Jesus Christ. Not just this one church or however many churches this letter first went to, but whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, whether you're a Mahindi or a Mzungu or a Mwafrika, or whether you're a Kalenjin or a Luo or a Kikuyu, well, Jesus Christ is the one who died for all your sins, if you're trusting in him. So, can you believe in Jesus Christ? Now, can you really employ him as your advocate? If you're going to that high court in Nairobi, you'll say, well, here's the advocate, but his fees, they're too high. Or, he's too important, and I'm very small. He won't want my case. He's got better cases. Can Jesus Christ really take me as his client? Can he really speak for me in the court of heaven? John says, yes, he can. For the whole world, whoever you are, you can believe in Jesus Christ. He'll take your case. So here's Jesus, and he's saying, let me plead for you. I have the righteousness the judge wants to see. I've paid the price the judge will ask to be paid. Let me take your case. Have you let Jesus Christ take your case? Have you really? Are you still thinking you'll take your own case and you'll say, oh God, you know me. You know my life is, it's not so bad. There are others and they're worse. And you know I've tried. Can you try that in the court here in Eldoret? So tomorrow if you kill somebody, can you say to the judge, well, you know, okay, I did that, but I haven't been a thief. And, you know, I haven't committed adultery. And I tell the truth. Okay, I've done this crime and I've killed someone. But look, the rest of the time I've been good. And, you know, in the future I'll try to be even better. And I'll try not to do it again. I'll try to avoid killing people again. Surely you can accept me. Will that work? Will the judge say, oh, it's okay. You go free. No, he'll say, look, be quiet about not being a thief. I never asked you if you're a thief. Your crime here is you're a murderer. And that's what you need to pay for. Can you say to God, well, I know you have these laws, but you have these other laws too, and I've kept them sometimes. But can you say that to God when you can't even say it to a man? No, you must go to Christ. He is the righteous one, and he is the atoning sacrifice for sins. Is Christ your advocate? Don't even think of saying you have no sins. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. His word has no place in our lives. If your own righteousness is good enough, let me ask you, kwanini Yesu alikufa? Ukiweza kuingia binguni sina the death ya Kristo? Alikufa kwanini? Kwa sababu ali hitaji why did he need to suffer? Why did he need to go to the cross? Why did he need to cry out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" If your righteousness is enough, then Jesus suffered for nothing. But Jesus did not suffer for nothing. Now, why won't you go to Christ? Do you find something wrong with him? Do you find he won't be able to do the work? Surely you don't. He is the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He died and rose again. He finished the whole work of dying for our sins. He rose, and so God declared, "I accepted Jesus. I accepted his whole work." Won't you say the same? Will you say, "I'm not sure, it's not enough," when God has already spoken? A friend in a high place. How wonderful to have a friend in a high place. Now, when I last had to get my entry permit, my visa to be here, a couple of people who said, "You know, I know somebody who works in the department, and if ever you have any trouble and you don't know where your case is going and you need to ask them what the procedures are and what's the problem, you know, I'll give you their number and you can go and ask them." "Oh, well, thank you. It's good to have a friend in a high place. If there's some injustice done to you, if someone's hurting you and harming you, and yet you have a friend who works in the police station. Oh, how helpful that is, if you can call on them for help." Our friend, Jesus Christ, is in heaven. He is at the right hand of God. He's in the presence of the Father. If the president was your friend, that'll help you for a few years. But if Jesus Christ is your friend, that will help you forever. Now, Christian friends, the devil, his name means accuser. And so he accuses you. He accuses you about today's sins, and he accuses you about the sins of 5 years ago. And he says, "I know what you did then." But Jesus Christ speaks to God in our defense. What did he say in that vision of Zechariah? When Satan was accusing him, he said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. Is not this one plucked like a brand out of the burning, that is like a stick out of the fire, rescued from the flames? You can't accuse them anymore, because I've taken them. I've clothed them. I've washed away all their dirt." So don't let Satan accuse you. When Satan accuses you, remember Jesus Christ. When Satan makes you fear God's punishment, remember Jesus Christ. God cannot make you pay twice. Once through Christ, and then again yourself. Well, Christ is the perfect advocate. So now you know what an advocate is, don't you? He's a kind of lawyer. But he pleads in your defense, and he pleads your innocence. And that's what Jesus does. So you can't punish this one. This one can't go to hell. He's mine. Look at my righteousness. Look at my death. Are you persuaded? It's not just a small thing. This is life and death and eternity. This is heaven and hell. Are you persuaded? You can know that Jesus is the great advocate. Have you made him your advocate? He has no fees. It's all free. He just says, "Come to me. Reject your sins, come to me." There's no fee at all. It's free. Are you persuaded, and have you come to him? Is Jesus Christ your advocate? If anybody does sin, and they do, he is the one you need. Do you have him? May God have mercy on us. Amen.